Good morning. So reading our scripture this morning is my dear friend Brenda Fitzgerald. She is one of my coworkers at the Everything Happens Project. She's a big brain behind the Everything Happens Project. She writes all of our curriculum, and she was a youth pastor for many, many years, and she will be leading our youth this morning. So Brenda.
Good morning. It's good to be with you all here this morning. Our scripture text comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verse 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it, and you settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come to the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give to us." When the priest takes your basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Armenian was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power, and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring you the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house.
Throughout this Lenten season, we'll be working through some of the Hebrew scripture, Old Testament text of the Revised Common Lectionary, and most of these are going to be wilderness text, exile, times when God's people had to learn to be with God in places of discomfort and displacement. I get to welcome a friend and neighbor to share this morning. Isaac Villegas lives just on the other side of the neighborhood. Awesome. Are you in Moorhead Hill, technically, or Lion Park?
Wants to claim us. Yeah. Kind of Moorhead Hill. Yeah. Hopefully not.
Lion Park or West End or Forest Hills.
Forest Hills.
Yeah. Yeah. Close enough to walk. Neighborly enough to offer my kids to glean figs from his and Katie's tree, but we just one notch above the squirrels. Isaac is a PhD student in theology at Duke University and a notoriously rigorous but fair grader. some in this room might offer an amen. And author of a recent book. We'll share, he just mentioned this morning, he's got a in-town book event in a couple weeks over at St. Joe's. The Migrant God, a Christian Vision for Immigrant Justice. So I'm going to welcome Isaac to share.
Thanks, Chris, for that warm welcome. Good to be with you all here this morning. I've worshiped with you all in the past at the other building, so it's nice to be here. Hi, good to see you. It's like familiar faces. This is amazing. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, the one who redeems our words, our thoughts, and our lives. Amen. So the passage we heard here this morning has to do with God's instruction for the people to offer their first fruits of their labor from their harvest on the altar, to set them aside for God's holy use. I'll read again verses 4 and 5 from our passage. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. This is something they repeat every time they offer their gifts to God when they gather. It's a refrain of their worshiping lives. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor, an alien in Egypt. Almost like a creed, we could call it. This is also our origin story. It's part of those of us here gathered who are part of the people of God. Those of us who are Gentile, Christians, who've been adopted into the peoplehood of the Hebrews, with Sarah and Abraham as our ancestors too. All of us wanderers, wilderness people, aliens. We are wanderers looking for a home, for well-being, for ourselves, our neighbors, a place to live without fear, to live in the goodness of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's justice, of God's peace, God's care for each and every member of God's family, the human family. And church, what we do here is how we organize our lives with other wanderers, those of us sitting next to us, fellow wanderers on this path, all of us looking to make a home here with God. So I'll tell you the story of one such home, a shelter for wanderers. A few years ago, I spent some time helping at a migrant shelter in Tijuana, Mexico, La Casa del Migrante. It's part of the Missionaries of St. Charles Scalabrini. It's a Roman Catholic order founded in 1887 to minister to migrants. That shelter in Tijuana was founded in the 1980s. The Scalabrini have three other shelters in Mexico, shelters for migrants. The priests and nuns and volunteers there at that place, to help run that place, they organize their lives. What they do every day is to organize their lives in service of people on the move. Individuals and families who've had to flee from violence, from political oppression, from wrecked economies, from the devastation of our climate crisis. On my first day at La Casa, Miguel, the community chef, taught me the art of making arroz y frijoles, beans and rice, for 100 people. Very important for the shelter's life. So he invited me into the kitchen. He showed me this huge pot. I mean, it's not even a pot. I don't even know what to call it at that point. It's like you have to, I mean, it takes maybe like 5 minutes to walk around it. I'm exaggerating, but it's just massive. And so he scattered these red chunks of, these chunks of red onion into the oil, and they kind of blistered, and he gave me this spoon. He called it a spoon, but it was like an oar for like a canoe. It's just this massive wooden oar to like move around. And then he put in the dumped two buckets of dried rice. And then he was like, "This is the most important part." So as the rice crackled, he's like, "You have to. The rice needs to like kind of brown in the oil, but not stick to the bottom." When I make rice, like I boil the water first and put it in, it feels easier, but this is how you're supposed to do it. So you have to like kind of, he was showing me how to move the oil and the rice with this oar. And for him, it kind of looked, he like displayed it so I could do it. But for him, it looked like a dance. Like he was just, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And then he gave me the oar and I was just like tripping, and it's dangerous because there's fire and it was just not a good situation. But he was very patient. And then at some point, you know, I was focused on the rice. At some point, he came in and poured in a bucket of caldo, so like leftover broth from chicken he had made the day before. And then another bucket with, I don't know, tomatoes, onions, garlic, simmered there. And then at the end, in the form of the cross, he took salt and just kind of poured salt in into the rice and the water. And in that moment, it felt just so holy, and I just wanted to, I didn't, I should have, but I just wanted to cross myself, you know, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because this meal was a blessing. This is food preparation as holy work. Later that day, sometime in the afternoon, as I was resting after the rush, I went down. I heard some joyful conversation down in the kitchen, and so I decided to join him, see what's going on. And I found Ani. Ani was a long-term volunteer from Costa Rica. This Casa Migrante draws from people all over the Americas who go there to volunteer. And she was down there, and she was doing a pre-dinner snack of jamaica con tajin. So it's, how do you even translate this? I don't know, jamaica with tajin. I don't know, it's like a cultural staple of like a snack in Mexican cuisine. And so she was making this for the new arrivals who were just coming in that into the shelter that day. And these new arrivals, some of them were from El Salvador, and they were making Salvadoran guacamole, which I had never known this was a version of guacamole, but they use hard-boiled eggs as well. Yeah, so it was amazing. So they're making Salvadoran guacamole. I was fascinated. And then there's a woman from Sinaloa, Mexico, who had just arrived, and she was rolling out masa for tortillas and then passing them to her son, her teenage son, who was frying the tortillas on the stove. As we feasted on these tortillas and guacamole, the woman from Sinaloa, she told me that her family had just fled home after the cartel had tried to recruit her 16-year-old son into their gangs. So she, her husband, and her son were now on the move to safety to try to find their way to her sister in Fresno, she said, if they're able to cross. Every meal at La Casa was like that. Every meal was holy. The domestic arts of the kitchen were sacred rites of communion. Food and stories passed from person to person, conversations about who had crossed yesterday, if they made it, and wonderings about who might cross tomorrow. Every meal was a kind of Last Supper, food sustaining wanderers, people walking through desert valleys shadowed by death. So after dinner that first day, I was put on ropa. I was basically given all the tasks that like the newbies get. So I was put on what's called ropa duty, so like clothes duty, which meant that I was in charge of this big room, kind of a storage room with all of donated items, donating clothing articles for people to wear. And so one by one, the new residents would come up and line up outside the door, and they were waiting in line for an opportunity to pick out pants, let's say shirt, jacket, socks, underwear, shoes, you know, whatever they needed, whatever was available. So the last person in line was this woman who was very pregnant. I mean, she must have been like weeks within her due date. She was from Guatemala, from the mountains. She told me in the best Spanish she could put together, my Spanish is okay, not great. Her Spanish was better than mine, but so she's Mayan, I learned. And so if you're Mayan, I mean, you know like seven languages. I mean, because every Mayan community has kind of a different language, and you just learn all these. So Spanish is probably like her eighth language or something. So we're communicating in Spanish there about her story, where she was from, what she needed. And we were chatting as we were looking through clothes. She said she really needed a new pair of shoes. And so I said, okay, this is where the shoes are. We had a letter to where the shoes were at in the back shelves. We kind of stumbled over all the other and rummaged through the stacks. And as we were rummaging for something that was her size, she glanced over at this huge, it was on the floor, this huge pile of stacks of shoes. There was a huge pile, and she started laughing, and I looked over and laughed too, because this mound in the corner of shoes, they were all high heels. They're like stilettos and platform shoes. And she asked me, she's like, what in the world? Does anyone ever pick from these shoes for to like walk through the desert. And I was like, no, that's why the pile, I'm told, gets bigger and bigger. It's just, and then I tried to explain to her this cultural phenomenon known as Southern California. And I can say this because I'm from Southern California, and how these donations come from very nice people in wealthy communities in LA and San Diego. And they just don't quite think through what it's like to walk through the desert in stilettos. Anyhow, so we both shrugged and shook our heads, laughed, and I gave her, found her finally a pair of very reasonable Nikes that are her size. Later that afternoon, a long-term volunteer at the shelter stopped by as I was cleaning up from my time in the storage room with clothes. The long-term volunteer came up to me, Ani, the same one from the kitchen. And she asked if I'd pick out some baby outfits for this soon-to-be mother. She decided that the shelter should throw this mother, soon-to-be mother, a baby shower. So I stayed late, sorting through all the boxes of clothes and tried to find like the cutest onesies and newborn outfits, pondering how this world has come to be what it is, where the best option some people have is to leave their ancestral home, their community, their family, and risk everything at the border to become wanderers like our ancestors in the faith. The next day, as we gathered for morning prayer, the eight of us who were part of the team of volunteers, our cohort decided to pitch in some cash and buy a cake and party supplies for the grandest, we decided this was gonna be the grandest baby shower celebration the migrant shelter had ever seen. So we passed around the basket and for donations, and then the priest led us through the morning liturgy, which concluded with a lively rendition of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. I never would have thought of that song as appropriate for prayer, but I was not in charge. But somehow one of the other volunteers had convinced this priest, who was from Vietnam, who, mind you, had never needed to learn English at this point in his career. So he didn't even know the words, but he learned them. He didn't know what the words meant. And this volunteer convinced him that this Leonard Cohen song was appropriate to sing as a benediction. So the priest took out his guitar, and he had learned the song at the volunteer's request, and he led us in Leonard Cohen, in a Leonard Cohen sing-along, as we swayed and held hands. The priest there offered our broken hallelujahs to God, even though he didn't know all of the words. That night, there was a celebration with the newly arrived migrants gathered to offer gifts to a woman whom they've never met before until that day, as she prepared to welcome a child into the shadow of a civilization, an empire that could care less about her life or the life of her unborn child. But there, in Tijuana, among strangers, people from everywhere, from Syria to Ghana, from Brazil to Ecuador, there in that shelter, we had a party with balloons and streamers, cupcakes and hot chocolate, music and dancing. A week later, after I came back here in the United States, North Carolina, a friend from the shelter texted me pictures of the newborn. The mother and the infant were healthy. The head priest of the shelter had committed to let them stay for as long as they needed until she was ready to cross the border again, this time with a child. Listen again to verse 5 from our passage. You shall make this response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien. Lent is a season to remember that we are fellow wanderers on this earth, that our lives are not possessions, but gifts from God, that our very breath is borrowed from God, the one who has breathed the life into the spirit, life of the Spirit into us, the one who formed us from lumps of clay, made us from dust. Lent is a season to remember that we live by grace, that we don't earn our right to exist, that we don't give life to ourselves, but we instead receive life as a gift from God. Creation is a gift. Your neighbor is a gift. The Mayan woman in the Tijuana shelter is a gift. Her child, a gift. This world is a gift, the possession of no one but God, who invites us to receive each other as fellow wanderers, as people of grace, living according to the provisions of God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor, an alien in Egypt. The good news is this, that despite it all, there is joy. There are celebrations. There are baby showers in migrant shelters, people who look out for one another, strangers who do what they can with what they have. The good news is that this world is held in God's care, that your life is held by God, that we are lumps of clay held together by God's love, that every human being is here because of God's love. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We are loved, and to love we shall return. But in the meantime, we're here in this wilderness, wandering with our neighbors near and far in Durham and Tijuana, wandering together. The Christian life is learning how to wander together with friends and strangers into God's life of love. Will you pray with me? God, you have given us this life with you and your people. Open us during the season of Lent. Open us to your Spirit. In the wilderness of this world, lead us to you, to your goodness, to your peace, to your joy, your love for our world. Amen.